Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
Good. Doing?
Yeah, things worked out, didn't they?
He's in a mental institution. They called and they want to ship him 2 hours away because they said he attempted to hit 2 other people and 1 staff person. But we had got a chance to go and visit him, and he was way more alert. He allowed us to touch him and hug him, and he just told us he loved us and, you know, kissed us, and he missed us, even though he was, like, in and out a little bit. And then I guess after we left, these things happened when we left in this morning, but somehow transportation haven't came to pick them up yet. They want to take them to Winnebago, which is in Oshkosh, 2 hours away.
Yeah, that's going to make it a little difficult for you to visit them, right?
Exactly. And that place is not good. That's the same place where I ended up. It's not therapeutic at all, ain't nothing. Yeah.
And you don't have any control over that particular, over where he goes?
No, because it's
once
court
he goes into
order.
The system, they have any control.
It's court order. Yeah, it's up under the court because the police ended up coming and putting them in there versus we asked for a help services, and because nobody could help us, and then somebody ended up calling the police where they got involved. It's a whole different story. So he's under a court order now.
Gotcha. I understand. And we should have prayer for him before we get off tonight. I just got Brother Arnold. God bless you.
God bless you, guys.
God bless.
How you doing?
God bless.
Oh, man, I'm wonderful, man. Just working right now, but I'm still here with you all. I just won't be able to look into my Bible while I'm driving.
Yeah, we thank God that you're here. Thank you, Arnold. Praise the Lord for you being here. We also have, and I believe this is Sister Jewel, but it says Arlea Bell.
Correct. And then it's also, it should say Arlea Bell 2 times, because Arlea Bell is on here too.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. All right, Arlea Bell, how are you?
Yes.
You good?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for coming. And Arlea, if you don't mind, so we can get to hear your voice a little bit, do you mind sharing a little bit about yourself? How old are you?
I'm 24 years old.
Where's your walk at? You're how old?
24.
Oh my God! Yeah, you're in the hard stages, huh?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your walk. Are you coming to try to learn about God? Do you already have a great relationship with God? Where are you at?
I do need to learn about God anyway. I do.
You need to learn about God. Okay. Keep going, please. I'm sorry.
What's
you want to learn about? I said you want to learn about God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what do you know about God currently? Arlea?
Yeah,
I sort of kind of ask, what do you know about God currently? And it can be just as simple as saying, you know, I just know he exists. And Arlea, believe it or not, you could even say, I don't even believe it yet. That's okay. Because we can help if we know where you are, so we can know how to help. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And it's okay to say, I don't believe. It's a lot of people. It takes some time to do this. Right? So where are you at right now?
In the house with my mom.
You're at home with your mom? Praise God. Okay. And do you... Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Pastor Monroe. Is it possible that I might be able to assist her better to make her better
yes,
understand?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am, of course.
Okay. Arlia, do you know that God is real? Do you pray to God? Have you seen God's work in our lives? So you just want a better understanding of God? And do you go to church because you believe or you don't believe? No.
Those are great questions.
You do believe? Do you pray to God? You have to say it where they can hear it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. You do? And when you feel in some type of way, what do you do? Do you pray to God?
Yes.
And do you believe that He'll answer your prayer?
Yes.
But mainly, most of all, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you to live?
Yes.
For your sins?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Wow. Hallelujah.
God, glory, glory, glory.
Thank you, Jewel. Thank you. I don't think that could have been articulated and asked any better way. I think you did that so well. I'm grateful. Thank you. Thank
Amen.
You. That helps me to understand where she is so I know how to speak to her because, you know, one of the things that Jesus was very good at was speaking to people where they are and not, you know, not necessarily speaking to them in a way that, you know, they couldn't get it. Except when he was talking to some people who didn't want to get it, and he said, those who have ears, let them hear. And those who have, but if they believed, he took the time to make sure that they understood it too.
Yeah.
So, thank you for that. Amen. How's your week been, Sister Jewel?
Well, actually, I lost my brother, my big homie, on Saturday
mm-hmm.
morning.
Mm-hmm.
He was. put yours on me. It was a shocker for me. So I don't know. I'm up against the ropes with it. I haven't really just fully accepted it.
Mm. May I ask how old he was?
He was actually 76 years old. He was the patriarch of our family, and we were very close. And I basically always went to see about him. And on days that I wasn't able to physically go myself, God blessed me with Sister Hawanda to stand in the gap for me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Yeah, we praise God that we praise God for our church family. I mean, honestly, you don't find a whole lot of churches that function the way New Covenant Church of Christ functions, and I thank God for that. I'm not trying to talk against anybody else's church and what they do. I'm just thankful for what we do. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Very thankful for what we do. Does anybody have anything they want to share before we go into prayer and get started? It's 5:39. We will start prayers right at 5:40.
No, I'm okay.
Say it again, Brother Evans.
No, I was saying, no, I'm okay. I don't really have nothing in particular that I want to share.
Okay. All right. All right, so we're going to have opening prayer, and Brother Evans, I'm going to have you to start this prayer, and I'm going to ask you to lift up our Sister Jewel, and I'm going to ask you to lift up Sister Hawanda, and her son. Right? And you don't need to know the details, because God already knows what we need, but I'm going to ask mm-hmm. you to mention them and bring them before the throne of grace and mercy, if you will.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, okay, I was bad with names. The other sister name is Jewel, you said, right?
Jewel? Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Father God, I come before you today, Lord God. Thanking you for another day that you have given us, Father God. Thank you for everybody that's on the line right now, Father God. Even the people that's not able to make it or even on their way, Father God. I ask, Lord God, that you continue to keep blessing Sister Hawanda, Father God. Whatever situation that she's going through with her son, Father God, I ask you that you...
Thank you, Lord. Thank
take
you.
Over the, take over the situation, Father God.
Take over. Take over.
The situation, Father God.
Yeah. For your
also,
glory.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
The sister that's on the line, I just said her name. I'm sorry. But the other sister and her daughter that's also, Sister Jewel and her daughter, Father God, that's on the line also, Father God. Continue to keep blessing and protecting them, Father God. Guiding them in the right direction, Lord God. Ordering their steps. Continue to keep blessing our apostles so that he's able to give us the word, Father God. And just come into this meeting tonight, God, Lord God, and give us what you want us to hear, Lord God, and to do.
Amen and amen. Somebody get God ahead. Whatever you're dealing with, it's all right. Take it ahead of time. You got a way of dealing with things for us. Bless his name. We're in the book of Romans, and we are going to be in the seventh chapter tonight. Seventh chapter of the book of Romans. And if you have your Bibles, please turn to it. Let me know when you're there.
Romans 7. Amen.
Now, for those of you that have been on the line as we've been going through the book of Romans, have you picked up anything from it as we read through it? Have you retained anything meaningful that's impacting how you walk and your understanding of your walk?
Yes, it definitely give better understanding of it. I can't really think about what we talked about last week, but I always like for us to go over like the chapters, like what we're doing, to get better understanding of each chapter. It definitely makes me walk better and think about a lot of stuff that I got going on in my life. So, yeah, it definitely do that.
Amen. Awesome. Anybody else?
Can you repeat the question again?
Yes, ma'am. So if you've been here for a couple of weeks and you've been through some of what we're talking about in Romans, I'm asking, is that word reading through the book instead of reading a scripture, has it been more helpful for you? Like last week we talked about the difference between cardia and cardia. Right?
Yes.
Anybody remember that?
Yes, and yes. Definitely. I remember that because it really helps me when you broke it down, the difference between the two. Whereas the one is just the heart that pumps the blood, and the other one has to do with our whole being, like our heart, our mind, our body, our soul. Like, totally different.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sister Jewel. Brother Waller, God bless you.
God bless you all.
Yeah, we're going to be in the seventh chapter of the book of Romans. We were reviewing the difference between cardia, the organ, right, and then cardia, the biblical concept. Typically, so I want to try first, before we go into our reading, I want to try to explain what the soul is, right? Because many times and then the spirit, right? Soul, spirit, and then the Holy Spirit, right? Three different areas of who we are. So your soul is the compilation and combination of your willpower. That's what God gave us in the book of Genesis. He said, have dominion. That means what I want, your desires. Dominion is my desire, what I want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowls, and so forth and so. So my willpower is made up of my mind. Is that, or my soul is made up of my mind, right? The way I think, right? My desires, right? My emotions. Praise the Lord. My emotions, they're all part of my soulish man, the physical being that I am, right? So we got intellect. We've got willpower, right? So my mind thinks for me, but my willpower kind of has the desires part going on and say, ooh, I want this, I want that, I want this. Then my mind takes that desire, processes it, and says, okay, here's how we're going to do it, or that's not good for you, or I don't want that, right? Your dominion, you need to be in charge and to grow and to get accolades. This is a very important part of our soul because we do need validation, right? The accolades part of us because it's part of our emotional structure. We need validation. Where many people go off in the soulish area of their life is they're seeking validation from the wrong thing. So I believe personally that God put like this big hole in us that can only be filled by God, and the majority of us have tried to fill it with other things, drugs, women, men, cars, money, houses, things that we felt would give us this temporary happiness, but we find ourselves being empty all over again, right? So it felt good for a few minutes or for a few days or for a few hours, and then all of a sudden their emptiness shows back up. And that emptiness is showing us, is God's way of showing you, that the only thing that can really validate the soul is God. So my willpower, I got to know that that's there. Paul's going to talk about this in chapter 7, right? We're going to get this. God bless you, Sister Deborah, for joining. Praise the Lord.
God bless you, Pastor Monroe.
And then we just had someone else from Madison, Wisconsin to join. I can't tell who it is, but I see that you joined. God bless you. Can you acknowledge yourself if you just joined less than 2 minutes ago?
This is Shaquilla. I just joined.
Hey, Shaquilla.
Hello.
God bless you. Thank you for coming. Shaquilla is one of our new baptizees, right, Shaquilla?
No, I came with Candace and my mama on New Year's.
Oh, yeah, that's Shaquilla, the Shaquilla I've been knowing for about 250 years and haven't seen in about 50 of them. You're that Shaquilla. God bless you. Thank you for being here, hon. Good to hear your voice.
Thanks.
Yes, ma'am. All right, so we're talking about Shaquilla. We're going to go to the Book of Romans. Do you have your Bible?
I do. On my phone.
Okay. We're going to the Book of Romans, chapter 7. And while you're doing that part and getting the Bible, I'll continue to go over. The mind, the emotions, right, my feelings, part of my soulish man, right, my intellect, because how smart I am also helps me to filter my feelings, my emotions, and knowing how to take those feelings, because feelings are just feelings, right? Everybody gets that, right? Somebody says something, you don't like it, you feel a certain kind of way. Mm-hmm. Based on how smart you are and how you process that through your mind will declare how you react to what they said or what it made you feel. So all that's a part of my soul, right? My dominion, my desire to rule over some things, right? And then even part of my vision, right? What I want. So Paul is going to deal with some of those things, and he's going to talk about it, and he's going to talk about how our soulish man can sometimes cause us to sin. This is going to be good, I believe.
Yeah.
Your soulish man can sometimes cause you to sin. But at the same time, Paul is going to try to teach us something that's going to help us to understand how to deal with the soul, with the spirit. Now, I also said there's a spirit inside of us. So there's a smaller spirit. That's the part that we're born with that's naturally us. as we shape and mold ourselves through time, through grammar school, elementary, and the whole nine yards, high school, hopefully and prayerfully some college. It's shaping my intellect, but my spirit, my behaviors, they typically are going to be exacerbated or made stronger or weaker by the amount of knowledge I have, my spirit. So God in his wisdom, when he sent our Lord, Master, and Savior, whose real name is Yahshua, because you'll hear us say that a lot, and that's because we know his true name, and we don't deny that, right? However, we also know biblically they call him Jesus, so we're going to do that so that nobody's unfamiliar with the name. So when our Lord, Master, and Savior came, it was part of God's plan to help us to overcome the soulish man. So how did he do that? So he sends Jesus Christ in the physical flesh. He enters into Jesus Christ by way of a seed that was imparted into him when he was in his mother's womb, or when he was being formed in his mother's womb. That's why he's an immaculate birth. No man was involved. She was married to or getting married to Joseph, but she was already pregnant. And she was already pregnant because Gabriel, the angel, had come down and imparted God's seed. So Jesus is man and God. Man because he's born in flesh, but God because the spirit that made him was purely from God. And so God extracted out the one place that sin continuously flows through mankind, which is the male. So that's why he had to be an immaculate birth. Everybody get this? He had to be an immaculate birth because the Bible says that a man's sin is visited and it took five generations. So the male is what carries the majority of the sin into the generations behind it. Everybody get that?
Amen.
Yes.
All right. Amen.
So he had to be born as an immaculate birth because he could not have a man's sin inside of him. That's why the Bible says he that knew no sin because he never experienced it. We, however, are born in sin because we have a father. So we're born in it. And that father, when you go back through history, is connected all the way to Adam's first sin when he disobeyed God and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everybody get that part? Paul is going to teach us in chapter 7 how we are to overcome sin. He's not going to talk about deliverance, which is interesting. He is not going to say, well, God will deliver you from everything. He's going to tell us how you can be delivered even if you make some mistakes. So in order for us to really grasp and get the most out of chapter 7, we'll need to start in chapter 8, verse 1. You'll need that one first. Verse 1. I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to ask who wants to volunteer to read, and then we're going to go back to 7. So who wants to volunteer to read tonight?
I do.
Okay. You do? Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Deborah. All right. So I'm going to start in verse. Everybody with me. I don't want to lose anybody on this. This is going to be so important to your walk. It's going to be so important to your advancement. Everybody with me. Do you understand what we're talking about?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to read 8:1. Here it comes. And I want you to read it, and then I'm going to have you repeat it after me. Amen.
Anyway,
I know you got your Bible. Here's what he says. 8:1. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit with a capital S. See it?
Amen.
So let's talk about that capital S, and then we'll start reading. So what he's saying is, when he died, he was an immaculate conception. There was the only spirit he had was the spirit of God inside of him, because he never experienced being the spirit of man. Those you'll see in the Bible, you'll see small s's when they talk about the Spirit. And whenever you see a small s, it's talking about who you are without God. Small s, Spirit. Got it?
Amen.
Everybody good? All right. So he says, those that walk after the Spirit. So when Jesus goes to the cross, he dies, and he gives up, the Bible says, and he gave up the ghost. Everybody knows that scripture. He gave up the ghost.
Yeah. Yeah.
What that means is that he released the Holy Ghost into the atmosphere, because until Christ, the Holy Ghost was not available to everybody. The Holy Ghost is not available. How do we know that? Because we've read Ephesians. We've all talked about that. Jesus Christ had to go into hell in order to get the people who had died before him, because there was no Holy Ghost. They were not saved. They couldn't be saved until he showed up and appeared in hell. And then after he appears in hell, takes captivity captive, takes them to heaven that accepted him in hell. He even took them to heaven with him. And then he says, now that I'm back in heaven, he said, I'm giving you five gifts. He said, I see what the problem of man is going to be, so I'm going to send some apostles, some pastors, some preachers, some teachers, and some evangelists. Why? To help perfect the saints. Why? Because he wants us to be prosperous, be in good health, as our soul would prosper. And we talked about the soul a few seconds ago, and we talked about how the soul is the combination of your intellect, it's a combination of your willpower, the combination of your emotions, the combination of your physical self, and it's a combination even of your spirit, who you are, your personality. And so he says, I would that you would prosper, be in good health. This is in 1 John. I would that you would prosper, be in good health, even as your soul would prosper, which meant that he sent the Holy Spirit to prosper your soul, so that once your soul begins to prosper and get healthy again, then there's very little that you can't do, which leads us back to this scripture. Now I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Get it?
Amen.
Yeah.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why? Because I went from a small S spirit to a big S spirit. The Holy Ghost is in me. And if the Holy Ghost is in me, there's very little that I can't accomplish. Now I want to be plain and clear, right? Plain and clear. I am 71 years old. So if I decided to go out on the football field and try to play football with some 20-year-old, 30-year-old NFL players, I'd probably get wiped out. I'm not going to become a superstar player. Why? Because there's some limitations on my soul.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Anybody getting this? There's limitations on my soul. If I've got a broke leg, I'm not going to be able to outrun a Jesse Owens.
Mm-hmm.
His limitations. Even if my leg wasn't broke, I probably am not going to outrun Jesse Owens, because his smallest spirit came in with that running ability in him, because God gifted him for that. Some of you have been gifted with things that God gave you from birth, and many of us are not even using that part. But he sent the Holy Ghost so that the Holy Ghost would engage with your spirit, and then the two together would begin to magnify the gifts that's in you so that you can prosper. Does anybody get this?
Yes,
are you following me? You're supposed to prosper. That's why he said, I would that you would prosper, be in good health, even as your souls would prosper. So I got to let the Holy Ghost refine me. I got to let him polish me up and shine me. I got to start dealing with some things about how I live my life, and Paul is going to talk about that. So verse 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. I'm going to ask everybody to read that first, and then I'm going to turn this over to our reader. Everybody read it together. Here we go. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Ready.
Yes.
Here we go. There is.
Therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus,
who walk not
after the flesh. After the flesh.
After the flesh.
But after the spirit.
But after the
but after
spirit.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
Now, let's start reading. Here we go. 7:1. Sister Deborah, if you would. And go slow because there's going to be some places where I want to interrupt and give clarity.
Okay. There is, therefore, now.
Nope. 7:1. 7:1, please. We
oh,
just
I'm
did
sorry.
8:1. Right. Yes, let me go back did. Before you start. I said
okay.
to everybody,
okay.
in order to understand what 7 is saying, you're going to have to know what 8:1 is saying first. And then you'll get this. There you go.
Amen.
Now, Sister Deborah.
7:1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Next.
So he's saying, let me stop there because he's going to compare it to something and you'll get it in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take the word law and let's change it to the word behavioral standards.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen to the scripture. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the behavior standards. How that the behavioral standards should have dominion over man as long as he lives. Now keep going.
Verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her
mm-hmm.
husband as long as he liveth. But
mm-hmm.
if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband.
Stay right there. So Jesus Christ in chapter 7 of Matthew makes this statement to the scribes and the Pharisees. And he said, they were talking about divorce, right? And they asked, well, why did Moses allow us to be divorced? And Jesus said, because of the hardness and the ridiculousness of your hearts. So he allowed you to write papers of divorcement. Then he turns around and says, but I want you to hear something. Other than if someone decides to leave you, if the wife decides to be an unbelieving wife and she leaves, right, or you catch them in adultery,
mm-hmm.
if that woman leaves that man and she gets married to another man, she is under adultery for the rest of her life.
Amen.
Did y'all hear that?
Amen.
For the rest of her life. Doesn't matter that you divorced her. What matters is that she belonged to you, and there's a law over that. That's why he's comparing it to it. Get it? He's comparing
yes.
it to say, so this is what the law was like. When God wrote
yes.
it, it is like this. It exists until the husband dies. It's like
Amen.
A man being married to a woman. And so if he's married to her, it don't matter if she moves on and lives outside of him. He's still an adulteress to God. Get it?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so he's going to go on to tell us that the law is just like that. And so we were all adulterers to the law until Jesus. Now let's
mm-hmm.
continue to read.
Verse 3. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so
mm-hmm.
that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man.
So everybody seeing this?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So as long as that man was alive, that law governed her life. Regardless of whether she chose to move on, she hated the guy. Whatever he did, and she walked away from, even though he had no obligation or responsibility to her, God still demanded she be called an adulteress. Sounds kind of wrong, almost. But that's what he's talking about when we speak of the law. The law is the law of behavioral realization and knowledge about who God is. And he's saying, so It doesn't matter whether a person knows the Lord or doesn't know the Lord. If they're sinning, they're sinning. If there's, because there's a standard here. Everybody getting it?
Yeah. Amen.
All right. Amen. All right. So he compares it to that. Let's keep going.
Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ.
Stay right there. Everybody get it? You are now dead to the law. Has absolutely no authority over you because Christ became the one, the husband became the new husband, and the old husband is dead.
Amen.
You're now separated from a behavioral standard, but you are now introduced into a spirit-filled standard, which will cover behavior.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? And you got to remember, we started with A1. Everybody, A1. Everybody remember? He's going to get to a point to try to explain something to us about our walk so that we stop beating ourselves up, so that we stop beating ourselves up because of the mistakes, the slip-ups, and the things that we do in this walk towards glory. Keep going.
Verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work
behavioral standard
in our members to bring forth fruit unto death.
Everybody remember last week? They can stay right there. Everybody remember last week we talked about the different words for death, the Greek and the Hebrew? He's talking about a spiritual death where you don't feel connected to your God anymore. A spiritual death, not a physical. A spiritual death. And if you stay dead long enough spiritually, you'll end up dead physically. That's why Paul begins to teach us, brethren, I would that you would prosper and be in good health even as your soul begins to prosper. The more I allow myself to intellectually get better, and I can tell you, man, they did a really good job on us as a people because from the point we entered into kindergarten, they did everything they could to make us despise the institution so that by the time you got to high school, you were out of there. They did everything they could because they know the smarter you are, the better the decisions are that we make. So God brings us the Holy Ghost so that we don't have a problem with learning anymore. That's why we come to Bible study, because we're coming to learn. We're trying to figure out how to use these tools that God has given us in order to move our life forward, be a blessing to our families, be a blessing on our jobs, make more income. All those things are due to you in the name of Jesus. All of those things are due to you. And the only thing that can keep you from getting it is you allow yourself to condemn yourself. 8:1. Therefore, there now no condemnation.
Amen.
Amen.
So you can let's keep reading. I won't go there yet.
Verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law.
Yes, ma'am.
That being, stay right there.
No, keep going.
That being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not.
Which one
in
is that? A capital S? Stay right there. Is that a capital S or a small S?
No,
everybody
sir, that's the little S.
We should be renewed in ourselves. Whatever you've been, you can now be more. Yourself.
Amen.
You, me, we. We can now be more than we've ever been in our life. If you've ever been in New Covenant Church of Christ, you've heard me say it a million times. You're way more than you know. And some of us won't allow the newness of spirit to start entering into our life and trust the fact that the things that I'm hearing inside of me, I should do because God is trying to show me how new I am and how much more I can do before I came to him. Go ahead.
Amen. And not in the oldness of the latter. Verse 7. what shall we say then? Mm-hmm. Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, mm-hmm. I had not known sin but by mm-hmm. the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt mm-hmm. not covet.
Oh, thus boy. Stay right there. We got to attack that. We got to attack that, right?
Yes.
Verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No.
God forbid.
I didn't even know it was sin until I started recognizing, remember what we said about the law, that there was a moral mm-hmm. standard. For I had not known it was lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And so he approaches covetousness even to sexual desire.
Wow.
Wanting somebody else's house.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wanting somebody else's job. It's coming from my soul. I didn't even know my soul was doing it until I started realizing there was a moral standard. And then the moral standard made me realize I'm sinning. Mm-hmm. Anybody get it?
Amen.
All right, keep reading.
Yeah.
Verse 8, but mm-hmm. sin taken occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence.
Concupiscence.
For without the law, sin was dead.
Now let me tell you what he means. Concupiscence means sexual immoralities.
Okay.
Right?
Thank you.
He's saying this. I was sleeping with a lot of folk. I didn't know it was sin until I read the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go deeper. Because mm-hmm. Satan has got a certain way that he plays with us with sin. We don't consider sin sin because we can stop.
Mm-hmm.
So if a man goes and sleeps with somebody's wife, he feels it and says, I probably shouldn't have did that. That's somebody's wife. But because I don't have to do it every day, he feels better about himself.
Mm-hmm.
Satan will hide the sin behind the concept of because I don't do it all the time, I'm all right. Am I talking to anybody? Because I can stop it. I'm okay. I mean, I don't. I got a few issues, but I'm okay. It ain't like I got to drink a fifth every single day, but just on Friday. But because I can stop, I won't see it as sin. Because Satan likes to hide sin behind justification. And he had sin behind the concept of, I don't have to do it. Mm-hmm. I can stop any time I want. Oh, God.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm.
I can stop at any time I want to. And that's mm-hmm. the justification. But just like a drug addict, they believe they can stop any time they want to until they can't stop.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins to ruin their life, and it begins to bring all kinds of tragedy and things that they didn't want, and they find themselves homeless. And but they thought while they were doing it, I can stop. I got control.
Amen.
Everybody got it?
Yep.
Got it.
Yep. All right, praise the Lord. All right, let's keep going.
Verse 10, and the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. Verse 11, for sin taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me.
Praise the Lord. Come on.
Deceived me, yes. And by it slew me.
So stay right there. Stay right there. Because I want to make sure we get this. This is verification on what we're talking about. He's saying for sin take its occasion, in other words, sin over time, and by the commandments, I'm starting to realize it's morally, and it's not a good moral standard. But it's deceiving me, and because it was deceiving me, it ended up slaying me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I kept thinking, I got control over this. I can stop. I cussed somebody out today, but I ain't gonna But that's just because of this particular circumstance, and I ain't going to curse tomorrow, and I ain't going to curse the next day. So I got control over this thing. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
I lied on yesterday. But I only lied because of that sin deceiving me.
Yep. Amen.
Yes, amen. Sir. Anybody get me?
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Amen.
All right. Let's keep going.
Verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding simple.
Mm. So, wow. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Was then that which was good, the law, why did God use it to make me separate myself from him? It's what God forbid. But sin, that it might be able to show up and show me that it's not good, it started working the separation inside of me. It started to hurting me. It started to plague me. It started to vexing me. It started to bother me. That's why people come to church, praise the Lord, because a lot of stuff is vexing them. And they come there to say, "What is? Why do I feel like this?" And they come to find a solution. So without the book or with the book, God has control to make them know that this sin is happening and that it's working against you. Praise the Lord. That's the goodness of his grace. Praise the Lord. Something ain't right. I need something better than this. And they come through the door looking to understand God. So he's saying, was this then that was good made death unto me? Was it purposeful to destroy me? No, God forbid, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But sin, that it might appear to be sin so that it could show up and it could do its thing so I could realize it's not working. It started working death in me. It started vexing my spirit. Yeah. It started hurting me. It started creating pains in me. It became the man that I was sleeping with that slapped me around all the time, and I got tired of it. The sin became obvious to me. It became the friends that I hang out with, but the longer I hang out with them, the drunker I stay. It became obvious to me. It was the relationship with some buddies who had me out stealing and lying and cheating. And over time, I ended up locked up because God had to make it obvious to me that the sin, even if I didn't know the law, is going to function on its own and bring about a death.
Amen. Yes, it will.
Amen. Anybody get it?
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Verse 14, go ahead.
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal.
Let's talk about that for a minute. We know that the law is spiritual. He gives. If we go back to the book of Exodus, he pulls the people out of Egypt. I talk about this all the time. Pulls the people, the Hebrew Israelites, come out of Egypt, and the first thing he does is he gets them to the desert, separates them from the people, places, and things that they've been around. Because those things are so influential over them that even with God giving them manna from heaven, fresh bread every day, the food of angels, they cried out because they didn't have onions and they needed some meat and they needed this because the soul had been affected. Let me tell you about the soul real quick. Once something enters your soul, it becomes recorded on your soul. Once it's recorded on your soul desires it over and over again. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. Anybody listen? So here's obvious proof. You may have thought about sexual encounters and sexual relationships when you were growing up, but until you had sex, you didn't need sex. Once you had sex and it got recorded into your soul and into your soul again, being your mind, praise the Lord, my intellect, my willpower, Amen. It's my emotions. So all three of those things got imprinted on the minute I started doing the sin. And once it was imprinted into my soul begins to desire the thing.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Everybody receiving this?
I receive it. It is so.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Any questions? Anybody have questions?
No, I don't.
No, you had said something earlier. You said something earlier in a conversation a while back. You were saying that, you know, we will get disconnected from God, you know, and if you're not really doing the right things or you're not trying to catch yourself. And I felt myself doing that, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I just stepped back and felt like I had to go back into what I was doing originally that got me into that moment, you know, because I felt myself like cursing people out more, cursing, you know what I'm saying? I just didn't really feel what you were saying like that, you know, and it wasn't until I went back into that place, you know, and it's still a learning process for me. I'm still like, all this is just so fresh, you know what I'm saying, for me, that it's just like, I definitely got to catch myself, you know what I mean, because I didn't like it, you know, and I felt like, and it wasn't like too much, like the average person probably would have been like, I ain't doing that, you know what I'm saying, but it's like, now at this point in my life, a lot of little things would be a sin, like cursing, like you probably don't even, a lot of people like, oh, I'm okay, I know a lot of people that be in the church that still curse to this day, you know what I'm saying, but it just be like little stuff for me, and I feel like if I'm getting not as much, or I'm not reading the Bible more, or I'm not like really listening to gospel music, I'm really doing something else, then I start to watch myself. So, yeah, you definitely right about that.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Evans. Yeah, and I know a lot of pastors, they curse and do a lot of other things too. But I got enough wisdom that God has given me to know how to separate myself from people, places, and things. I'm not trying to judge them. That's their life. They're going to have to answer to God. I don't have to answer to God for them. So praise the Lord. Go ahead, do what you're doing. But I prefer to be where I'm at, because where I'm at in my life keeps me connected to God. I know when I pray, he hears me. I know when I call upon that name, I feel peace. I know when I'm sick, sickness may come, but God ain't going to let it stay. I know when my money is tight, God is going to turn around and make my money right. I know that because I know how to stay engaged with my God. I can't tell nobody else how to do it, but I can share what I've learned. So that's what I'm saying. And this is important because Paul is also sharing. And don't forget what we started with, 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, after the flesh. Now watch what I'm getting ready to say. My life has been filled with mistakes.
Amen.
Even in Christ. Praise the Lord. Is that all right to tell y'all? I have made mistakes while being saved. Have I ever cursed anybody out while I was saved? Well, I know a couple of curse words fell out my mouth. A cussing spirit jumped on me. And they don't happen like that anymore.
Amen.
Right? But when I first got saved, it was fairly frequent because it was still my soul, my soulish man was still dictating to my spirit. It was still telling me how to react because I didn't understand, wait a minute, greater is he that's in me. I have some control over this. That's the word of God. I've got control. I don't think I have control. I think my feelings have the control. I think my intellect has the control. Well, I'm only as smart as this, so if you take me and put me around a bunch of professors and a bunch of doctors and a bunch of lawyers and a bunch of governors and a bunch of mayors and a bunch of LT executives, I won't know what to do because I don't have a PhD. I don't have my master's degree, but I found out. When the Bible says he made you to be seated in heavenly places, he meant it. When he said he called you to sit in high places, he meant it. But I found out that the only way to get to those heavenly and high places is to recognize what my soul is doing versus what my spirit is saying. And when I listen to my spirit, it tells me you can be amongst anybody because I got you. When I recognize what the spirit is saying, the spirit is saying you ain't even have to worry about what you're going to say, because when you get up against your adversary, I'm going to give you in that moment the words that you should speak. And most
Amen.
Somebody should have a jump and a shout moment, because many of us get into circumstances we want to talk about, and we ain't never waited for God to say, no, let me tell you what you should say to these people, what you should say to this situation, how you should speak to this demon, how you should speak to that devil, what you need to do with that imp, what you need to do with that simp, how you should speak, because I'm in you.
Hallelujah.
And so I can sit with the President of the United States, and I'm sure if I have to, God will give me the words to put him in his place. Because I serve a kingdom, not a king. I serve the ultimate king, and so therefore, he's the highest authority in the land, and I'm getting ready to blow your minds with this, and I hope and pray you receive it. Somebody say, I'm going to receive this tonight.
I'm going to
receive
this.
The Bible says, when I call you, any man that goes into the office of bishop or deacon or pastor or evangelist or whatever thing I called you to do, he said, I called you to the highest office in the land.
My God, I receive it.
Hallelujah. I called you to the highest office in the land. And so if I don't get my soul under control, I'll never ascend to the higher offices, because I'll be too busy, like many people on the planet, just slapping myself every night and beating myself up about the mistakes I made, because I'm thinking in terms of the law, and I forget about the law of the spirit.
Amen.
I'm living out of the moral value of it all rather than the spiritual value that Christ came to share with me. Because out of the moral value, and Paul's going to get to this point, you're going to see it, and you'll see why 8:1 is there. He's going to get to this point, he's going to say something that's mind-boggling. He's going to say, those things that I would not do, I find myself doing. Those things that I would do, I did not. However, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the sins of it all? And he says, none but the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And then I learned something, that with the flesh, I could still serve sin. But with the mind, I can still be in Christ. Come, let's go read.
Amen.
I can make mistakes and stay in the kingdom. I can make mistakes and still be favored by God. I can make mistakes but still be all right because he loved me. I hope somebody gets this tonight.
I get it.
Some of us are still suffering from not being good parents. Some of us are still suffering from having had bad relationships in the past. And he's trying to tell you, there is now, therefore, no condemnation unto them that are in Christ Jesus. And all he's saying, you need to let that stuff go.
Amen.
You need to come out of that place and walk into this newness of life that I've given you. Accept the fact that you meant to go forward and not to keep living backwards. What man can drive a car? If you got in your car every single day and said, I'm going to the grocery store, you will crash if you look through the rearview mirror.
Amen.
You can't go forward looking backwards.
Looking backwards. Amen.
Yeah.
Say that.
And if you pay attention, the windshield is 15 times bigger than the rearview mirror.
Amen.
Do you see more in where you're going than you do in where you've been?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's keep
praise
going.
The Lord. Where are we at? Verse 14?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin.
Talking about Adam. Go ahead.
For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that do, I not. But when But what I hate, that do I.
Oh, say it again. Take your time. Read it again, sister. It's all
okay.
Right. Read it again. Verse 15. This is the whole point. Everybody, please get this. Please let your hearts hear
okay.
it. Please
For
know that you can't hold yourself down anymore. And I'm not saying anybody is doing it. I'm just saying if you are doing it, let
Amen.
Go. Let go.
Let
time
go.
To grow. Time to go get it. Time
Amen.
To move the ball down the court. Go take the shot, if you will.
Time
don't matter if you
get
miss.
It.
But you got to take the shot now.
Amen.
You got to find out what the newness is about. Yeah, read it again, verse 15, and take your time.
Amen. For that which I do, I allow not.
I ain't trying
what...
to do it. That's what he said.
Right.
But the things that I end up doing, I wasn't trying to do that. That's all he's saying.
Right.
Go ahead. Next one.
But what I would that do, I not.
Mm-hmm. But the things that I wanted to do, that I know are right, I'm not
mm-hmm.
doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep making sometimes the wrong decision. I find myself
yeah.
around the wrong people. I
yeah.
keep going back to the same things that I hate. Oh, my God. Oh, wretched
my
man.
God.
Anyway.
Oh, wretched man. But what I hate, that do I. Oh, my goodness. Lord, have mercy. Help us.
Mm-hmm.
Help us, Lord.
Yes, amen.
Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 17. Now then.
Before you go there, Sister Deborah.
Uh-huh.
If then I do that which I would not do, I consent now unto the law that it was good. Now I understand why they had moral behavior. That's all I say.
Uh-huh.
Now I understand why God put this out there, so that I could see the moral behavior issue and see how it's impacted me. But I still have some problems. Keep going.
Amen. Verse 17, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
Can we stop there and talk? Can
yes.
we just stop there
talk about
and
it.
Talk? New Covenant Church
Amen.
Of Christ.
Now,
what in the world did he just say? I've just learned how to compartmentalize myself and recognize when I mess up, it ain't me no more. It's the stuff that has been imprinted on me from the things that I did before I got saved, and that they just exist in me. And so every now and then I make these mistakes. Every now and then I do. I want to go chase that girl over there. Every now and then those things just show back up to me. I ain't consenting to it, though. So what is it telling me? That there's a war going on in my members.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. It definitely be.
Amen.
For real. You got to
fight. For real.
Amen.
Yes,
oh, my God. And how am I going to win the fight? He's getting ready to tell us how to win this fight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Verse 18. For I know that in me that is in my flesh.
My soulless man. Go ahead.
My fleshly man. It said, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Oh, my God.
Is anybody getting this? Praise the Lord.
I get it. Woo, my goodness. Jesus, help, strengthen, help us.
Did you hear those couple of words he used in that, verse 17 and 18? I repeat it. Now then, it is no more I that's doing this, right? But the sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, my soulish man, dwells no real good thing. because to will to do right is present with me, but how to perform doing that right, it's evading me. Let me try it again.
Yes.
I want to do right. Why do you think your Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak?
The flesh.
Mm-hmm. I want to do right,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes I can't figure out how to perform that right. I don't know how to overcome myself yet. I don't
mm-hmm.
haven't figured out the formula and the formula that God has given me. I know it's there because I can feel it. I know I can do the right things because I can sense it. I can taste it. I can almost touch it on the inside. You know, I hope I can stimulate someone's vision when I say this, but most of you can feel and sense that something good is coming.
Amen.
You ever had a day when you sit you're sitting on the couch at home and you know the day is incomplete because I know something good was supposed to come out. I know something great is supposed to happen, and you have this sort of kind of internal nervousness because you know God is moving. But you ain't seen the move yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know God is doing something.
I promise you, I'm feeling like that right now.
Ooh, he cut out of it. You know God loves you, but you ain't seen the love form itself and become the thing that you envisioned yet. Do you know that he knows this? And this is your spirit talking. And sometimes we get confused because when our spirit is trying to tell us it's going to be all right, we'll listen to our soul that said ain't nothing right.
Amen. That is so true.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'll get caught in my soul. And Satan knows if he can get my soul to speak louder than my spirit, if he can get the things that I see that I think are reality to go against the things that I have faith in, which is God's reality, he can keep me in my soulish man and prevent me from getting to the God plan. That's the problem. That's a problem to me. See, if I get caught up in what I see, I'll never get to what God is trying to show me. I have to trust that inner man. I have to feel what the Spirit is saying. I got to start trusting it because when I start trusting, I hope I'm talking to somebody. Because when I learn how to trust it, I begin to realize my kids are crazy, but they're going to be all right. I start realizing that the job looks a little scary and hairy, but it's going to be all right. I start realizing they're talking about firing me, but if they fire me, God is going to hire me. I got to get that thing. I got to trust that feeling that it's going to be all right.
Amen. Got to talk. Hallelujah.
Amen, somebody. I hope somebody gets this.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to verse 19. Everybody ready?
Yes.
All right,
here we go. Paul's already confessing those things I want to do. Sometimes I don't do those things that I try to do. I don't even do it. And I can't figure those things out sometimes. I want to perform that, which is good, but I don't find it all the time. Verse 19.
For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Oh, God. Jesus.
Amen.
Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Verse
I find
then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Lord have mercy. Come on, Jesus.
Articulate prayerfully what we all notice and sometimes don't catch, but Paul caught it here. Praise the Lord. And I'm so glad God used Paul this way, because a lot of times you won't hear people talk like this, especially in the church. What Paul just said, he said, I'm finding then there's a law that when I want to do good, evil is still with me. A lot of believers get themselves in trouble because they think they're so delivered that the sin ain't leaving.
That's true.
So they become religious. They become religious
in their behavior, and they have the appearance of good, but yet do evil. Because they forget the most important thing. I don't care how good you get. I don't care how spiritually you grow. I don't care how much revelation you walk in, how much anointing oil he's poured into your life. Sin is always with you. Why do you think you see so many people fall? Because they got that one little thing.
Amen.
Though I would do good, sin is still always around me because it's in my flesh. It's imprinted in me. And I'm going to be tempted. I am going to be tested. I am going to go through some things. However, let's keep reading.
Verse 23.
Yes, ma'am.
But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Oh my God. What did he just say? Don't go any further. What did he just say?
Oh, boy. It's your simple self.
Somebody please talk to me. What in the world
did Paul just confess to?
Paul just confessed it that he serves his flesh and end up sinning against the law of God, the spirit of God.
And then what else did he say?
And he said that he said that he was a wretched man. But he believed that he could be delivered from the body of death.
Okay, Paul.
But he said he thanked God through Christ, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, which is a good thing. But I'm missing something here in this where he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So then when did you ever repent for the sins that you do?
That you do. So watch where this goes. Amen. Does anybody else see that too? Anybody catching that little anomaly? Anybody else catch? I mean, is Sister Deborah the only one? Hey, man, it's quiet around here. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, it is.
I want you to hear it the way it's written because the punctuations are even very important. You said, oh, wretched man that I am, exclamation point. You said it with excitement. Exclamation point is excitement, right?
Yes.
He's excited. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Question mark. Oh, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's delivering me. That's what he's saying. So then I'm learning that even with the mind, I'm serving the law of God by wanting to do, I hope somebody gets this, man, it'll bless your socks off. Because if God loved you while you were yet a sinner, how much more love and grace is he extending to you while you're fighting with your own sin?
Wow.
Anybody get this?
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
And so often
we're
beating ourselves down because we made the mistake, when Paul is trying to tell you, it is okay that you made the mistake. I did it too, he's trying to tell us, so you wouldn't be confused like many folks that are out there thinking that every man in God is a perfect human being. Paul was trying to tell you, you are not a perfect human being. You are a human being being made perfect. That's important. I'm being made perfect. I'm being moved into perfection. I'm going to have some slip-ups. I'm going to have some trip-ups. I'm going to have some falls. I'm going to have some things that I'm mad at myself about. I'm going to have some things I'm mad at everybody else about. There may be some times 5 years down the road since I done had a curse word came out of my mouth, another one might come out. But Paul is saying, listen, now that you know that that's there, because it's in your flesh, he wants you to know. One, therefore, there is no condemnation. I shouldn't be holding that against myself. To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, it's not like I'm enjoying it anymore. Anybody get this? I'm not enjoying my mistakes anymore. I am deploring my mistakes. I'm deploring that feeling. And I'm walking closer towards Christ. And I'm trying to tell you, if you take in that mindset, Paul is saying, so I've learned that in my mind I'm serving God and the righteousness of the law, but in my flesh I'm still making a few mistakes. Therefore, I've got to not condemn. But I got to recognize it through Christ Jesus, right? I'm going to learn to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
That's the only way.
Praise the Lord. Now let's confirm. Remember, we talked about the word cardia and the word cardia.
Yes.
One being your organ, where we kind of believe all of our feelings are coming from, and the other being our whole willpower, everything. And that's why he says, even though my willpower, my whole cardia is trying to do the right thing, I still slip sometimes. I still make some mistakes because I keep finding out that even though my heart is sold out to God, my will is sold out to God, I want to do right all the time. I'm pressing to do this thing, man. I know I'm going to get through.
Amen.
But I also have to know how to deal with it when I don't.
Amen.
I have to know how to handle it. Because ain't nothing worse to me than a whole bunch of phony Christians. That's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Amen.
I hope that doesn't come off negative. I'm just saying, nobody wants to get a testimony from somebody that's struggling, and you can hear them. Nobody wants to. You understand what I'm saying? God doesn't need us to pretend. The Bible says he is the God that speaks in those things that are not as though they were. And we assimilate that as part of our walk. We need to learn how to speak to our destiny, even though our destiny is not a certain way yet. But he doesn't need me to pretend. If I'm hurting, I am hurting. If I'm upset, I am upset. Ain't no sense me pretending to be the kind of person. I'm so Christian that I don't get my feelings hurt every now and then. I'm such a great Christian that I don't have some times when I doubt myself no more. I'm such a great Christian that I don't have some times when I'm weeping and moaning because there's stuff going on in my world. But what he's telling me is what the scripture is telling us. Is that though those things are happening inside of us, with the mind, we can still be serving Christ.
Amen.
Anybody receiving anything
out of that?
I'm sorry, say it again, please. Go ahead.
It makes sense to me. We are a sinful people that are at war with the Spirit of God. And our flesh.
Let's do a round of applause. We're going to open it up for comments and for thoughts. I'm going to start off with Brother Evans. Comments and thoughts for tonight.
It definitely was good. It's talking about a lot of stuff that I have experienced and noticing, you know what I'm saying, that was right on point with what I was saying. So, you know, it's just a lot of revelation.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. I'm going to go to Arlea. Arlea, did you understand any of this? Ask her if she understood it, Sister Jewel.
Did you understand any of what they were saying? Huh? Tell me the part that you understood.
She said yes, she understood.
What you said? Or you was just listening and you didn't quite comprehend it? You didn't quite understand? But you was just present, listening to it all. But Pastor Monroe can't hear you answering me. He probably can just hear you, me asking you a question. So are you saying that you sat through the whole study and you listened, but you didn't comprehend it?
Mm-hmm. All right. So tell her this. Here's the milk version. You're going to make some mistakes, but if you stay in God, you're going to be all right.
You understand that?
If you just
okay.
Keep staying, it'll come out okay for her.
Amen.
Got it? Brother Waller.
Yes, yes.
Open for comments, sir.
I sat back and listened, you know what I mean? And I realized that the spirit is just offing to me. So I've been dealing with some issues, you know, and at times I hear myself. I step outside of myself and I look at myself and I stop myself, you know, because it's a behavior that I'm accustomed to that I'm trying to break off from. So I'm so thankful to God that I see it, but I still, I have to catch myself, kind of like what Arnold was saying.
Mm-hmm.
I do, you know, I'm kind of, you know, that's where it starts, and the passion to stop it. But I think it's important, well, I know it's important to understand what you started off talking about is the difference in the soul and the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I realize soul is at battle. It's like in the middle. Because my spirit is telling me to do right, but my flesh is telling me to do wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But for an example, something that's pleasurable like sex,
mm-hmm.
could be your flesh is saying, is talking to my soul, telling my soul, oh, you know that feels good. My spirit is saying, but you know that's not righteous. Talking to my soul. But my spirit's mm-hmm. talking to my soul. Flesh is talking yep. to my soul. So I'm conscious of it to listen to the spirit. And understand that my soul is the one that's at battle, that's at war, that's like a tug of war. So I'm reading these scriptures and it's saying to die to your flesh, die to the flesh, die to mm-hmm. the flesh. The flesh is at war with the spirit. But the soul is the one that's questioned in the end. So to save my soul, I must listen to the spirit. But to know that peace is where the victory is. Because I know I need to listen. So this is like, it's all tying into my life and what I think about every day. Because I am still kind of struggling, not so much with the act, but the thought. Because the thought eventually is going to turn into the act if you're not conscious of it. So I'm learning and I'm growing. Oh, and this study was right on point. That's why I didn't say much, because I was really in a zone. just listening and thinking and meditating. So thank you.
Oh, I praise God. Thank you, Brother. That was my hope, that somebody would really receive this. Because too often we as people, we forget that we're people because we're saved. And we sometimes battle with ourselves because there's some things that's still in our soul that show up every now and then. They don't want it to show up. We didn't ask for it to show up. Showed up out of the blue. What is that sometimes? And many times, if you're not careful, you won't catch what Paul's experience is going to teach you. Don't forget, Paul is an Acts, right? Paul he's growing, and he's learning, which is what we're always doing too in the Lord. We're learning, we're growing. And if you're not careful, you'll start your own way because you'll think that what your flesh did stopped what your mind can do.
Good thing. Can I say something real quick?
Yes,
because
sir,
because that's it though, the thinking, and not only the thinking but the knowing. Mm-hmm. It's important to know what I'm thinking because I know what Christ did. I know the purpose. I know what it is. So like the sin itself is not so as important as knowing what God ordained for my life.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, with my mind, I serve the law of God.
Yes, sir.
That's the thinking and the knowing. Knowing what Christ did. Knowing what my life consists of in Christ. So the sin, there is no more condemnation for those that are in Jesus Christ. No more condemnation. That kind of goes back to what we were talking about the other week when we were talking about the law. So many people say that you're under the law. The law is not abolished. You're under the law. And I understand why they think that. But they don't understand that word fulfilled and what it means. Christ came to fulfill the law.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not under the law, not saying that you obey his commands, but it has nothing to do with being condemned if we're in Christ. So I'm knowing these things.
Yes, sir.
So I'm not condemning myself, and I'm not so much beating myself up. But I have a passion to walk a certain way and to talk a certain way and to conduct myself a certain way.
Yeah, you're right, though.
Amen. It takes that. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So, yeah.
So the passion, and I love the words you used, and I thank you for it, because what he's speaking about is the passion of the mind to do right. I have this passion to live right. I have this passion not to do the things that I sometimes find myself doing. And Sister Deborah asked this question. I didn't see the repentance. Didn't you ask that question?
I did.
Watch this. Because what a lot of us don't realize is that the mistakes he was making had already been covered by the blood.
Mm-hmm.
So, amen.
There's a lot of things that you will repent from, and repentance, if you really know what it means to do a complete 180 from something. And a lot of times we repented from something that all we needed to ask for was forgiveness.
Amen. Say that again. That 180.
In other words, I've completely turned from it.
Ooh, cool. Right?
And the problem with people thinking about the way they think of repentance, they think repentance is a 360. I repented, other than I turned around and did it again, and that's where the condemnation comes from. Ooh, my God, I hope somebody gets this. I really do. I'm afraid that you received this.
Look up there.
And some of y'all gonna get it while you're in the shower. Somebody's going to get it while they're driving in their car tomorrow.
Somebody's going to get it today.
And you make a mistake and they go catch it and go, oh my God. And the Holy Ghost will hit you and have you shivering in your seat.
Amen.
I'm saying,
yes, he will.
Everybody, people are going, I repent, which means I turn from it. I ain't doing it no more. It's not going to happen again. But really, all you need to do is say, forgive me, because I ain't delivered from that place. It's still in my flesh.
Amen.
Because if it were not there, think about this, then why would there be those two words in the Bible? One word talks about God will take your sins and throw them into a sea of forgetfulness, never to remember me anymore. Meaning he forgave it. And then once I repent from something and I've turned from it, you don't have to forgive it no more. So what's the difference?
Are we still going around?
Yes, ma'am, we are. I'm getting ready to move right around the room. Praise the Lord. All right, so we spoke to Alea. We spoke to Brother Tavon. We spoke to Brother Arnold. Let's go to you, because I believe the God, like God has something burning on your heart. So go ahead, sister.
I was just wondering. I was listening, and everything everybody was saying was really good. I was just wondering if I, because what stood out to me is, it, and like you say, if you can break it down, it's just like the strong man binds the house. And what we see flourish, because we can't walk in the spirit 24/7. So those times to where we are walking in the flesh, what are we doing? And that's where the fight comes in, so that you can deny the temptation to do the things when that you wouldn't do when you, you know, walking in the spirit, like pick up that certain phone call that you know going to lead to something else, you know, watch that TV show with some sex things that's going to make you, you know, want to do something. Or, you know, going to be hang out with this certain crew, but you know what lifestyle they live. When you walking in the flesh, we just have to be mindful.
Come on now.
Very mindful, because that's where the spiritual warfare come in. Because when we walking in the spirit, the fight ain't there. The fight comes when we walking in our flesh.
You don't.
And the strong man binds the house. So that's what I was saying. What we feed flourishes. So just being mindful of it, because we get to choose at this point. It's a choice, and we can't walk in the spirit 24/7. So just being mindful about our, who we decide to talk to, letting our ear pour the places that. And I was talking to my cousin, and he was talking about we are what we eat, and I just, it came to me that we don't just eat with our mouth, we eat with our eyes, we eat with our hand, we eat with our feet, we eat with our ears, everything, every open, and our whole skin is a organism that we eat there too. So things that you touch from your skin, it goes down into your body. So we don't just eat with our mouth. So be mindful of all aspects of how we can allow things to enter in. Because it said it don't defile it, what goes in, it's what come out, though. The scripture do say that, but the stuff that we receive will be determine what's going to come out, the outcome of, you know, our situation.
And you so right, too, sister. Like, I agree with 100% of what you're saying. Like, we can't walk in the spirit as much. And I feel like that's the reason why I try to keep myself drowning in the spirit, though. You know what I mean? But it be little things like, you know, a TV show or people, places, and things, right? You know, like, I've been having this battle with, like, TV shows or music. That's what I'm dealing with now. You know what I'm saying? But I just tell myself when situations come up. Like, I've been watching The Sons of Anarchy. I don't know a lot of you guys know about that show or whatever. But anyway, it's a nice show. I've been, like, binge watching TV because I've been at the crib most of the time with my job. But anyway, I've been watching The Sons of Anarchy, and it puts me in a mind state of the gang life, you know what I'm saying, that I was experiencing when I was in it, you know what I'm saying? And, like, it's interesting to see the bikers, you know what I'm saying, almost imitate the same thing. So it got me, like, you know what I mean? But I still, like, tell myself, you know what I'm saying, like, no, you know what I'm saying, like, that type of stuff ain't cool. Or I'm looking at it like, I'm seeing the danger and all that. You know what I'm saying? But I definitely got to be mindful of it because I almost made me, like, miss the lifestyle. And I had to check myself from it. You know what I'm saying? So you do have to be careful about what you put in yourself and being mindful of it because you will jump out of the Holy Spirit with that.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Arnold. And I spot on. That's the reason why when you get saved, you begin to learn what Paul learned. People, places, and things make a difference. Remember, we talked about the soul being a combination of your thought process, your feelings, and your physical being, right? Mm-hmm. So what is your physical being? It's those five senses that you have: sight, hearing, touch, taste, and feel. Those five senses are how information goes into our body. Brother Tavon used to say something that I thought was so very effective. He said one day, he said, you know, when I eat, I get information. Food has
information. That's right.
You're absorbing information in millions of micro bits per second the minute you open your eyes. You know, we look at our sight as being, you know, I can see a banister in front of me, I can see a wall, I can see a mirror, I can see. But what you're seeing is information that is digging itself into your sight, and your brain is constructing the picture. If you know anything about how the optic nerves work, you'll know I'm telling you the truth.
Yes,
you don't even see in color. Your brain produces the color. You see in black and white, believe it or not. All you got to do is go look it up and go study. How does the eyeball work? Most of what you see is in black and white, and your brain is creating color.
I'm sorry.
Anybody get
it?
So those five senses are consistently absorbing information, constantly. And if you're not conscious, the bigger spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of you, is conscious. That's why Jesus said in St. John 14, chapter 26, verse, he says that the Spirit, who's your real teacher, will teach you all things and bring back to your remembrance everything that I've spoken. Now let me go back to something that Brother Arnold said. Remember the scripture I just quoted. Let me take you to something that Brother Arnold said. I used to watch television when I first got saved, and yes, those things were very temptatious. I'd see certain things and it'd make you think certain things. When the Holy Ghost began to mature, I could now look at television and see what they were using it to do, and it had no impact. Because I understood what Satan was doing.
Amen.
That's why he asked us to take on the gift of discernment. Because when we take on the gift of discernment, as we allow our spirit man to mature, you'll read it before Satan can ever use it. You'll see it way ahead of time. You'll understand,
yes,
oh, this is a move from the enemy. Amen.
Yes.
You'll see the
But that came with maturity, Pastor. I hear you saying that. Yes, you can go back into those familiar places when you are fooled up, you know, know that that's what you're struggling, you know, your struggle, you need to know how to limit yourself until you build yourself up spiritually, to be able to be the one to overtake them instead of them overtaking you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, you're so right too, sister. And it was like that in the beginning for me. Like, I couldn't go around a lot of old gang members or, you know what I'm saying, or just be around that type of lifestyle because I knew it would draw me back in just from the energy and the testosterone and all that. You would find yourself in that mode, you know what I'm saying? But now it'd be like, people would come to me and be like, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't talk about this, or, you know what I'm saying? And it'd be like, yeah, you know, like, I'm doing something right, you know what I'm saying? And I have discernment of, oh, I see this, even when I'm watching movies. Like, oh, yeah, they doing this, or this was wrong. So, yeah, I definitely do, but it definitely comes with maturity, y'all.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I am so grateful for this talk and conversation. Sister, let's go over to Sister Deborah. Sister Deborah, your thoughts?
I like what we talked about. I don't know how many Bible studies ago we did, but I like what you said, Pastor Monroe. You said when the devil come in, tell the devil to get out of here.
Get that mess out of here.
That's not going to work, Chip. Why? Because
Hallelujah.
The spirit of the living God resides here. And then we speak the word to those circumstances. Mm-hmm. And they said, what did they say? Say, the devil got to flee. When we
yes,
speak
ma'am.
The blood against it, the devil got to flee. So you mm-hmm. got to know how to, and Pastor Monroe says it all the time, use your spiritual war weapons so that
yes.
they will work for you, because they do work, but you got to work them.
You got to work them. Glory
to God.
Amen.
I don't care what
Amen.
The question is. You got to work them because they're very powerful. That's the reason why. And the other reason is because they work. I enjoy the Bible study. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Monroe. Thank
yes, ma'am. I'm going to move on to Brother DeJuan, but Brother DeJuan, before I do that, I want everybody to turn to Matthew 12:29. I want to touch on what Sister Hawanda said, because she's absolutely right, and she's quoting scripture when she said this. Matthew 12:29, watch this. How good your God is.
Matthew 12:29.
And this is Jesus speaking. Matthew 12.
Yeah. Come on.
Let me know.
I'm there. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else got it?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
All right. Watch this. You should read, I guess we should read 28 too before we read 20. Listen to what he said. But if I've cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has now come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods? Talking about Satan. Except he first binds the strong man,
uh-huh.
then you'll be able to spoil the household. Now, that means that Paul is trying to tell you the same thing that Jesus just said. He's an already bound up the house. He's already spoiled Satan's plan. And all you have to do is cooperate with the spirit in you and say, in the name of Jesus, I cast you down. I bind you up. I power the lies in you. And you'll find yourself not going through a lot of things because of many of us, and I hope and pray that we can receive this. Many of us have power that we don't use.
Amen. So true.
Because we're allowing the soul to tell us this is real and this is how it goes. But Jesus came to prove, hey, none of this real. Watch what I do to Watch what I do to sin.
Hallelujah.
Watch what I do to some demons and some imps. But then he has the courage to say, and these things that I do, you're going to do more.
Amen.
Many of us have power that we just don't trust it, and we won't speak against it. You have to speak against it. And it's spot on. It's a strong man. But he said, I already spoiled the strong man's house. I bound that character up for you. You gotta know it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go into condemnation, because condemnation will keep you from speaking prophetically over a circumstance. Does that make any sense? That might be too complicated.
Yes, sir.
It'll keep me from being a good kid. If I think that I made so many mistakes, my kids ain't gonna never forgive me, then I'll walk in the mistake and not the power of God to say this is not happening anymore. In the name of Jesus, this is going to happen this way. From this day on, this is what we will deal with what we did in the past. I'm going to apologize for it. I asked for forgiveness. I really did. That was before I got saved. I didn't understand. I was just as worldly as anybody else, but I'm saved now. So here's what we can do as a family. You can get with me and go with me where God has taken me, and we can heal together, or you can continue to hold my past and try to make it my present, but you're going to end up out of here. You will end up away from me.
Amen.
It ain't going to mean I don't love you, but I ain't going for it no more. Get that mess out of here.
Out of here.
I wish I could talk to somebody else. Get that mess out of here. Right? Let me give you, and then I'll be right to you, Brother DeJuan. I'm sorry to take so long, but it's just a lot for us to hear. We got to believe. You've got to let yourself get this. I was talking to a young lady, right? Smart, wise young lady, intelligent, studying, straight-A student, probably 10 years old. And the child was telling me about how one of her aunties had just had a baby. The auntie is about 15. And I looked at the child. I said, wow. I said, well, first off, congratulations for the baby. She said, yeah, I'm so excited. We got a new family member and so forth. And so then I stopped and I said, yeah, but is that right for a person 15 to have a baby? And you know what the child said?
What?
I don't know. I don't know. And then she retorted behind saying, I don't know. Her next statement was, well, my mama had a child at 16. Anybody listening to me, please hear me. Please, you have power. You got to learn how to use this power that God has given you. So my mama had a child at 16, so I guess that's all right. And I said, tell me why it's okay. I said, what would happen if someone at 16 has a baby? Do you think they have a job already? Well, I don't know. They could get a job. I said, well, what kind of job would they get at 16? I said, you think they'll get a good job paying like a lot of money? Or do you think they'll get a job at McDonald's? They said, probably McDonald's. I said, well, do you have any idea how much it costs to take care of a baby? We're not teaching. Many people are not teaching anything to the kids. They're justifying. Because if I say having a baby at 15 is wrong, I said I was wrong because I had one. And I don't want to admit to being wrong. But let me tell you, who shall deliver me?
Come on, God.
That's why Christ the generational curse keeps
there
happening.
You go. Right there.
It becomes that's repetitious. It. Because I can't honestly admit I was doing the wrong thing. Because I don't want to feel bad. But listen to me good. Didn't the Bible say what we just read? He said you need to get to the newness of life.
yes, they did.
See, I mean, honestly, I can talk to anybody about all the wrong I've done, and I can sit back and tell them very clearly, man, I was serving the wrong master. I did this. I did that. I sold poison. I did all of that. Man, that man that I was. And the reason I can do that without equivocation or being concerned with what they think about me and whether they're going to see me bad is because I know I'm not that person anymore. I'm living in the newness of life. I can tell them the truth because I'm a new creature. But if I am a new creature, listen to me good. Praise the Lord, please receive. If I can't talk about the old creature, knowing I'm a new creature, it is because someplace inside of me, Satan still has bondage over me. And Satan has been thinking about my old past and trying to hide from something that I ought to be jumping and shouting and thanking God and taking my testimony and telling everybody what he did.
Hallelujah.
So glory to God.
Amen.
Therefore, there is now no condemnation unto them that are in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I did because of my old status. And so I can admit that.
Yeah, the man that I was, man. Yeah, man. Satan had me out there hurting people, misusing people. I lied. I cashed people's credit cards. I did all of that. That man that I was. And I'm so sorry that I did it. I went back to the folks and tried to give them their money back. I went back to the women, tried to apologize. I went back to the kids that the women had and told them I'm so sorry that I was the type of man that I was because I was a bad example to you of what a man was. I've done all of that because I wanted to kill Satan. Oh, God.
But the devil
I wanted to kill Satan, and even when he was in me. And so I can, you know, I've seen a lot of people heal because of the newness of life. I've seen a lot of people who have old scars and wounds be healed because I was able to go and share with them how the enemy used me. And I'm sorry, I'm ashamed. God, I'm so sorry. I've wept in front of people to let them know how sincere I was, that I was sorry for what I did. But now.
Hallelujah.
Everybody get this? Amen. That's the tool that God gave you because you ain't that person no more. So now you can sit down and put that person on Front Street if you have to because you're not that person. Live in me. Praise the Lord. Brother DeWan, closing thoughts?
I'm just thinking about your food. You got five senses of sight. You got sight, touch, hear, and feel. And what's what I hear and see on TV and stuff, music wise too, yeah? Trying to correct I used to do, yeah. So I'm trying to stop using the curse word music. Prepare for me for that. That music. Yep.
You're turning away from cussing rap music now.
Yep.
Praise the Lord.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. God is good all the time. Amen. Any other closing statements before we close in prayer? And Sister Hawanda, I'm going to ask you to close us out and take us before the throne of grace. You are so amazing at that. So
I don't take no credit. I give y'all the glory.
All the glory. Praise the Lord. Any other closing thoughts before we close in prayer, family?
Oh, sir.
Amen. All right. Sister Yarber.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We just come to praise you. We come to lift you up. We come to magnify you. We come to give you all the glory, honor, and praise that's due to you. Hallelujah, because you have already done enough. Hallelujah. All we got to do is look back over our life and flash back from where you brought us from. Hallelujah. You picked us up and brought us up out of a horrible pit. You placed our feet, hallelujah, on a solid foundation. Hallelujah. So that's enough to give you glory and honor for. Hallelujah. Some of us, our mind was gone, and some of us, our mind could have been gone. Somebody could have lost their life. Somebody could not have woke up this morning. Hallelujah. So help us to not focus on the circumstances, but to focus on the circumstance changer, the circumstance revealer, hallelujah, the circumstance deliverer, hallelujah, hallelujah, for we need deliverance in this season, hallelujah, that we will call those things out that we know that we have trouble with, the sin that we know that still easily entangles us. We have the power and the authority to tell those things ourselves to come up and out, hallelujah, and if we can't do it, we can have somebody to stand in agreement with us because we know one to put 1,000 and two to put 10,000, hallelujah, so we stand in agreement together and we say for ourselves, for everything in us that's not like you, we call it up and out, hallelujah. That's what purge us with hyssop and wash us whiter than snow means. So any way that you want to bring it up, we give you permission, hallelujah, to bring up that cussing demon, hallelujah, that sexual immorality demon, that lying demon, that
that cussing demon, that thieving demon, whatever it is, we know it, so we can call it out for ourselves, hallelujah, so that it no longer have power and authority over us, because you already know that what we need, and you waiting on us to confess it to you. So even those things that have been pressed down, hallelujah, those hidden things that we don't want to bring up, the things that may cause us shame, hallelujah, because somebody may have did something, or for whatever the past has told you and you became a believer of it, I call it up and out right now in the mighty name of Yahshua. It no longer has power and authority over you, and all you have to do is come into agreement with it that you don't want it to live there anymore, that it's not your home. Hallelujah. You get to say which strong, what the strong man is in your house and what binds your house in the mighty name of Yahshua. And we confess today that Yahshua is Yah of our life. Hallelujah. He's everything that we need. He's the void filler. He's the problem fixer. He's the lawyer. He's the doctor. He's the teacher. He's the director. He's the corrector. He's everything that we need. Hallelujah. So forgive us for looking to the world for things that you told us to look to you for. You told us, hallelujah, that your answer is yes and amen. And if we seek ye first the kingdom of Yah and all of your righteousness, that everything else will be added unto us. So we think that we need to have in mind what we need next and what we need to do next. Forgive us for it, because you said if we seek you. So all we need to do is find ourselves seeking you, hallelujah, and that you're going to be the one to lead us and guide us and direct us and bring everything into a full manifestation of what we need, hallelujah. And I know that there's nothing missing in you no matter what it looks like. I know that there's no failure in you no matter what it looks like. I know that there's no mistakes in you no matter what it looks like. So I decree and declare that in this season, we're going to see in the spirit. We're going to have a keen spirit of discernment, hallelujah, because we're going to walk in the spirit, and we're going to deny this flesh daily. We're going to take up our cross and deny this flesh daily so that we can see you, because you said without holiness, no man can see Yah. So our desire is to be holiness without compromise in this season. We won't compromise, and we won't give up our soul. We won't sell our soul to the devil how we did. Hallelujah. But we're going to have the fear of Yah on the inside of us, knowing that there's benefits in being on your side and in your kingdom. Hallelujah. 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 So we just say yes to your will on today. We say yes to your way. Hallelujah. I want to pray right now for those who have lost loved ones. I pray right now that for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. Hallelujah. For those who are going through anything in any situation, hallelujah, that we don't understand, hallelujah, I pray right now that you wrap your loving arms around your people, hallelujah, that you just continue to remind us, hallelujah, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that we are not alone in the situation, hallelujah, and I pray that you reveal to us, hallelujah, the reason of whatever it is, hallelujah, and most of all, it's always to bring us closer to you, hallelujah. So I bind up anything and loose it to the pits of hell that would want to steal our praise. Hallelujah. That's why we always start out with thank you, because we're not worrying about what the situation looks like, because we know that you are in the situation with us. Hallelujah. And we are not alone. So I know that victory is already our portion, no matter what it looks like. So we continue to lead as we leave this call, but not your presence. We give you glory, honor, and praise for what you are doing and what you are about to do. And we claim victory over everything and everything that the enemy ever stole, spoken, did, said. We cancel the assignment of him right now. Hallelujah. He get no glory. He get no victory. And he don't have no power in this situation because we know that it is already won. Hallelujah. So we just praise you as individuals, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise as a collective, because you say when your sister rejoiced, we should rejoice with her. Hallelujah. So I thank you for thank you that he's opening doors for everybody on this line, and even those that couldn't make it. I thank you that he's regulating the mind of everybody that's on this call and everybody that couldn't make it. I thank you that he's opening up the windows of heaven and pouring you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. Hallelujah. I thank you that he's giving you everything that your heart desire as you desire to be closer to him. Hallelujah. And I decree and declare that. But as we leave your this place, but not your presence, hallelujah, that we would just seek holiness. We would seek to be right. We would seek to be more like you, and that we will begin to speak those things that were not as though they were, and that we will call out our own
demons. Hallelujah. We would know that prayer starts right at home because it can happen. Yes, it can happen. I'm a witness that it can happen. Hallelujah. So let deliverance take place. Hallelujah. So that we can have clean hands when it comes to speaking and dealing with your people so that we no longer bleed on people in this season. Hallelujah. That we will operate in a place where heal people and not be in the hurt people that hurt people. I speak life on this line. Hallelujah. Life in that war. Abundantly, in the mighty name of Yahshua, I thank you for victory over everything because you are more than amazing. Hallelujah. And all the glory, honor, and praise belongs to you. And I just say thank you. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah. You're worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah. So I thank you for doing the new things. Hallelujah. I thank you for making all things new. The 180 kind of new, not the 360. We won't be confused in this season in the mighty name of Yahshua. I thank you for turning it around. Hallelujah. I thank you for turning it around. Hallelujah. I thank you for turning it around. You get all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the first family because we know that it goes from the head down. So continue to endow the man of Yah with the word. Hallelujah. And touch his wife and their children and their children. And we rejoice for everything that you do in their life. But we know that we are next in line and we just thank you. Hallelujah. We just praise you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise for these things. We ask in your son Yahshua's mighty name.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you,
hallelujah.
Oh God.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes.
I'm about to work it.
Free.
It's gonna make me feel like I'm not doing the job right. Hallelujah.
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 Oh God, I thank you. I thank you, God. I thank you, God.
About in my life. I'm selfless about everything. You can get my money, you can get my I'll do all those things. I'll bring you food. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
If I got it, you can probably get it. But the one thing that I'm selfish about is my relationship with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Salvation with fear and trembling.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. In this prayer with the blood, because they're done, never to be undone.
Oh God. Thank you,
you
Jesus.
All are so, I mean, you're so blessed. I hope and pray that you know how blessed you really are.
Hallelujah.
And quit letting Satan lie and tell me I'm not worthy or I'm not able, or God is mad, or God is just not caring. He ain't listening to me. He doesn't want to hear my problems. I done did too much wrong. There's now therefore no condemnation. Your mind, your spirit mind, and he's talking about the mind of the spirit. That's why he said, let this mind be in you. Paul knew that. Paul understood. I got the mind of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Man, I'm serving him day and night. With all my mind, I'm serving him.
Oh, God.
So don't forget that about yourself and be blessed and stay blessed. Even when you're in the power of your face and confusion with your family.
Confused.
Worship through some things. Pray your way through it. Confuse the enemy.
Pray.
Praise the Lord. Sister Jewel, you okay?
Yes, I'm good. I'm so good right now.
Hallelujah.
I thank God for this Bible study.
Hallelujah.
I wouldn't lay down. I wouldn't let my head touch the pillow just because I wanted to stay woke for this Bible study. And I thank God that he gave me the strength that I needed to stay
warm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope everybody heard that. Did everybody hear that, Brother Tavon? Did you hear it?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, sir. I heard it.
Yep.
Very powerful. Very powerful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. And let me tell you what she just said. Every one of us are important to her. If you that breakthrough might not have happened. That's why people should come and show up, because you don't never know how God is using you. You don't show up for church, you don't show up for Bible study, you won't show up for prayer, you won't show up for those things, because you forget how important you are.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Not from the Church of Christ. You're important.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Yes.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everyone next Wednesday. Praise the Lord.
Praise
all right.
The
and
Lord.
Everyone, and you all have my number if you need me or if there's something that we need to talk about. And I think most of the women have my wife's number. And there's a lot of wisdom inside of evangelists. Call her if you need her.
Amen.
We
do.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
I love you all. Be the blessing.
Amen. We love you, Pastor Monroe. Love you, New Covenant.
Love you all.
Love you all.
Love you all. Good night.
Love you all. Have a blessed night. Have a blessed week.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.